So today being the very, very auspicious day of the appearance of Srimati Radharani, the Queen of Vrindavan and the most beloved of Sri Krishna, therefore we focus the class on Srimati Radharani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayom Mudirait Nasta Praye Svabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Since there's people out there, shouldn't we leave the door open?
Well, they have a speaker.
They have speakers? Okay, but if people want to come in?
They can come.
Mataji, can you do me a favor? Something's happened because my wife's not here. Could you please check in the Peacock House and see what happened? I'm concerned. Came all this way and she's not here. It means something's happened. So we'll read first from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. So in the spiritual world, every word is a song. Every step is a dance. Every thought is a thought of love. Every act is an act of devotion. And the center of it all is Sri Krishna. And the center of Sri Krishna is Srimati Radharani. She is dearmost to his heart, as we will soon see. But let's just chant this verse and then move on. Pravittaya nivrittaya Pitridevaya karmane Namo dharma vipakaya Nitave dukkhadaya cha Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pitridevaya
karmane Pitridevaya karmane
Namo dharma vipakaya
Namo dharma vipakaya
Mritave dukkhadaya cha
Mritave dukkhadaya cha
Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pitridevaya karmane
Pitridevaya karmane
Namo dharma vipakaya
Namo dharma vipakaya
Mritave dukkhadaya cha
Mritave dukkhadaya cha
Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pravrittaya nivrittaya
Pitridevaya karmane
Pitridevaya karmane
Namo dharma vipakaya
Namo dharma vipakaya
Mritave dukkhadaya cha
Mritave
Resultant action of fruitive activities. Nama, offering respects. Adharma, irreligious.
Vipakaya,
unto the result. Mrityave,
unto death.
Dukkhadaya, the cause of all kinds of miserable conditions.
Cha, also.
Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, You are the viewer of the results of pious activities. You are inclination, disinclination, and the resultant activities. You are the cause of the miserable conditions of life caused by irreligion, and therefore you are death. I offer you my respectful obeisances. Purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart, and from Him issue a living entity's inclinations and disinclinations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chahamriti sannivishto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead causes the asuras to forget Him and the devotees to remember Him. One's disinclinations are due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Bhagavad Gita 16:7, pravritim cha nivritim cha janana vidhura shuddha, the asuras do not know which way one should be inclined to act and which way one should not be inclined to act. Although the asuras oppose devotional service, it is to be understood that they are inclined that way due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the asuras do not like to engage in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord within gives them the intelligence to forget. Ordinary karmis desire promotion to Pitriloka, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:25. Yanti deva vrata devan, pitrin yanti pitri vrata. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods, and those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. In this verse, the word dukkhadaya is also very significant. For those who are non-devotees are perpetually put into the cycle of birth and death. This is a very miserable condition. Because one's position in life is attained according to one's activities, the asuras or non-devotees are put into such miserable conditions. So this verse should be understood in context And the understanding is it's that Krishna is fulfilling the desire of every living entity. So if you desire to forget Krishna, he makes you disinclined. And if you desire to remember Krishna, then he gives you that remembrance. He gives you that knowledge. Those who want to forget Krishna and enjoy sense gratification and want to prove that God doesn't exist, Matta Smritir Gyanam Aponam Cha. Krishna gives them that knowledge whereby they can prove that he doesn't exist. For the devotees, Krishna gives them that knowledge by which they can come ever closer to him. Tesham Satyata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Didami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. Those who are engaged or connected to Krishna through devotional service imbued with love, but not just imbued, priti purvakam, complete love, all the love that you can muster. To them, he gives buddhi yoga, the dhammi, buddhi yogam tam, the pure intelligence, the intelligence of yoga. What kind of yoga? Hatha yoga? No. Bhakti yoga. Yena mam upayantite, so that they can come to me. Krishna wants us to come to him. Now, what is the meaning of yoga? So, one at a time. Union. Who agrees union? Who has another idea?
Separation.
Well, I don't know. It's the first time I've heard that one. That must be a much deeper understanding than what I have. Well, my idea is yoga means for us, for Vaishnavas on the path, it means reunion. Back to home, back to Godhead. So reunion for me is sweeter than union. Because reunion means we're coming back to our beloved. We made a horrible mistake. We left him, and now we're coming back. So this verse segues into our understanding of Srimati Radharani. And I'll explain how that is because it may not be completely clear. So let's look for those verses, starting with 230. So here we are, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 4, beginning with text number 30. First of all, before Krishnadas Kaviraj is going to explain the tattva of Radharani and Krishna, he says these. He begins by saying, all these conclusions are unfit to disclose in public. So in other words, as we read in that verse, there are those people who are disinclined, who will take whatever is beautiful and try and make it non-existent or not beautiful, or subordinate to their own conception. But, Krishnadas Kaviraj continues, if they are not disclosed, then no one will understand them. I have to disclose it to somebody. Who is he going to disclose it to? Therefore, I shall mention them, revealing only their essence, so that loving devotees will understand them, but fools will not. Anyone who has captured Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his heart will become blissful by hearing all these transcendental conclusions. All these conclusions are like the newly grown twigs of a mango tree. They are always pleasing to the devotees who in this way resemble kokila birds. The camel-like non-devotees cannot enter into these topics. Therefore, there is special jubilation in my heart. For fear of them means the camel-like non-devotees, for fear of them I do not wish to speak. But if they do not understand, then there's no harm to speak. And what can be happier in all the three worlds that the non-devotees don't understand? Therefore, after offering obeisances to the devotees, for their satisfaction I shall speak without hesitating. This is the mood of an advanced Vaishnava. So this is what he's going to explain. I'll read the Sanskrit.
Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanaya Iva Svadyo Yenad Bhuta Madhurima Kidrishova Madhya Sopyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tadbhavadja Samajani Satchigarbha Sindho Harindhu.
Translation. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So in order to understand Radharani, we have to understand Lord Chaitanya. Without understanding Lord Chaitanya, you can't understand anything. So here is the meaning of this verse. Text number 238. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. But is there anyone who can give me pleasure? So Krishna is saying that I'm giving pleasure to everyone, but who's giving pleasure to me? He's thinking like this. One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. So the only person who can give pleasure to Krishna is a personality that has 100 times more qualities than him. Is there such a person? One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world. But in Radha alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. So Krishna is saying that he feels that Radharani alone can give him pleasure, which means that Radharani must have 100 times more qualities than him. Because Krishna says in the previous verse, one who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. So then he says, although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the 3 worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the 3 worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captures my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood. So if we look back at these few verses, we begin to understand Krishna, and we begin to understand Radharani in a deeper way. So Krishna is saying that I am Satchidananda, I am in complete bliss, I am Atmarama, I am full of all rasas, I am the complete whole. And therefore I give pleasure to everyone. But who can give pleasure to me? So it's a reciprocation. Krishna is giving, giving, giving. And he's thinking, well, when do I receive and where do I receive from? Where does that come from? Only from one who has 100 times more qualities than me. So who is that personality? That one more qualified than me is impossible to find. How we can find someone more qualified than me? But there is one personality. In Radha alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure.
Radha alone can give Krishna pleasure.
That's what he says.
Although, now Krishna explains, although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although my beauty is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although my beauty gives pleasure to the three worlds, when I see Radharani, that gives pleasure to my eyes. So the pleasure that Krishna gets, the pleasure that we get from seeing Krishna, Krishna gets from seeing Radharani. We're fortunate. We see Radha and Krishna. We get the pleasure of seeing Krishna, and we get the pleasure of seeing what gives pleasure to Krishna. It's like a double shakti, a double bhakti shakti. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds. But my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. When Srimati Radharani speaks some sweet words to Krishna, immediately his ears are attracted. Just like he's attracting everyone else's ears, Srimati Radharani attracts his ears. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, Krishna's body is the most beautiful fragrance. Everywhere he walks in Vrindavan, people can smell the fragrance first. Krishna's in this vicinity. So they understand that. But the scent of Radharani's fragrance from her limbs captivates Krishna's mind and Krishna's heart. Krishna becomes captivated simply when he smells the fragrance of Radharani's transcendental body. In other words, when Radharani is in the vicinity, Krishna can smell her fragrance. Radha is around here. I can smell that beautiful fragrance. And immediately his mind becomes captivated. His heart becomes captivated. He can think of nothing else. Captivated. Captivated means you're completely captured by that. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, there are so many variety of tastes in all the different rasas, in all the different existences, in all the different various species of life because of Krishna. But Krishna is charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. When he tastes the nectar of her lips, then he comes under her charm. He's charmed. This surpasses any other taste that he is giving. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, Krishna is soothing, completely soothing for those of us who are burning in the forest fire of material life. But Krishna himself, who is more cool than 10 million moons and is soothing everyone, refreshing everyone, he becomes refreshed. I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. So, you see the mood of Krishna. You understand how Krishna is thinking, how Krishna is feeling, how dear to Krishna Srimati Radhika is. Therefore, how dear must Srimati Radhika be to us? You know, in England, they have this proverb, any friend of yours is a friend of mine. It means that you are so dear to me, such a dear friend to me, that whoever is your friend is automatically my friend. So in the same way, Radharani is so dear to Krishna that automatically anyone else who considers Radharani very, very dear becomes very dear to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya was very frequently chanting or explaining this one verse from the Adi Purana where Krishna says, if anyone claims to be my devotee, I do not necessarily accept him. But if he claims to be a devotee of my devotee, then I accept him as my devotee. So this means that
Krishna doesn't like when we try and jump over everyone else and try and have a direct relationship just with him. He wants to see that the people that he loves, that we also love. So Srimati Radharani is very, very dear to Krishna. The Vaishnavas are very, very dear to Krishna. Whoever is very dear to Krishna should be very dear to us, because if they aren't very dear to us, then Krishna is not inclined towards us. So Krishna wants to see that the people that I love, you should also love. Why? Because why should you have a different opinion than Krishna? Why should we think differently than Krishna? Why should we feel differently than Krishna? To be Krishna conscious not only means to think and be absorbed in the service of Krishna all the time, but it also means that our consciousness becomes purified, so it becomes more and more like the consciousness of Krishna. And what is the consciousness of Krishna? Suridam sarvabhutanam. He is the dearmost friend of every living entity. Sometimes Prabhupada translates that as the well-wishing, the most well-wishing friend of every living entity. He wishes well for every living entity. If we are not wishing well for some particular living entity, then we're having a different opinion than Krishna. Now, if we analyze this verse, Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Sarva means all, and Bhutanam means all living entities. That includes every living entity. Sarva means every, no one's excluded. Suridam. So in Sanskrit, denotes the possessive case. Su means sweet, and hrid means heart. So Suridam Sarvabhutanam means Krishna, who's possessing a sweet heart for every living entity. That's why he's the well-wisher and best friend of every living entity, because he has a sweet heart for every. In other words, everyone is Krishna's sweetheart, and Krishna is the sweetheart of everyone. And yet that Krishna, he becomes enchanted by Radharani. He becomes subdued by her love, captivated by her love, charmed by her love, so much so that he can't even understand her love. What is it? Just like he says here, what are the wonderful qualities in me, Krishna says, that Radharani alone relishes through her love? The love of Radharani is Mahabhava. It is the highest expression of love conceivable. What is it about me, Krishna is thinking, that brings out such a love from Radharani that I can't even comprehend it? Even when Krishna played his flute in the forest and the gopis gave up everything in the dead of night and left their homes to come to him, Krishna, in that pastime, Krishna says that your love for me is so great, I'm not even able to repay you. The ability to repay you for that kind of love, I cannot fulfill that. I am lacking. I cannot come up to that standard. So here he's saying, what is it about me that brings out such a love in Radharani? There must be something about me that even I don't even know. Because Radharani sees and understands and relishes and brings out this unbelievable love, inconceivable love. And what happiness is she experiencing when she realizes the sweetness of her own love? And what happiness is she experiencing when she realizes the sweetness of Krishna's love? So love means a reciprocation. So what is that joy, that bliss, that ananda, that paramananda that Radharani is experiencing from the sweetness of the love that she's getting from Krishna in the reciprocation? And in that love that she's giving to Krishna. Krishna's trying to understand this. He can't understand it. So he's trying to understand the glory of Radharani's love. What is this love that I cannot comprehend? What are the qualities in me that bring out this amazing love? And what happiness does she feel when she realizes the sweetness of this loving exchange? Therefore, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with Radharani's emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come as a devotee to try and understand what is this love that Radharani has for Krishna. He's now going to put himself in her mood. He's going to assume her complexion, her whole mood. And from her position, he's going to try and experience love for Krishna to understand what she is experiencing. Then Krishna carries on. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. My affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani and her feelings for me, there's a contradiction somewhere. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani. But by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. She is even more satisfied, more fulfilled, in receiving more joy, more ecstatic bliss seeing Krishna than Krishna does seeing her. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness. Why does that steal Radharani's consciousness? Because she thinks that that rubbing of the bamboo is the sound of Krishna's flute. And therefore she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for Krishna. She becomes so overcome by emotion. But seeing a tamal tree, which is the color of Krishna, Sharmvarna, she embraces it immediately, and now I'm with my Krishna. So the rubbing against one another of the bamboos creates a particular sound. Does it create a sound, a very shrill, high sound? What would you guess? Yes or no? Or would you say it was a lower type of sound? Who says lower? Yeah, it would, because you got the trunks of the tree rubbing, so lower sound. Now Krishna has three kinds of flutes. He has the Venu flute, which is very small and has a very high pitch. And it's played by Venu Krishna, who is Gopal Krishna, because little Gopal has little hands. But as he grows older, he has a larger flute called Vamsi. This is in the Poganda stage from age 6 to 10. So in that stage, his hands are a little bigger, so he has a larger flute, which is Vamsi. And he's known as Vamsi Badan, or Vamsi Dhari. And that has a slightly lower sound. But when he becomes of the Kishore age, he has a big flute, because now his hands can stretch to get those notes. And that big flute has a very deep sound. And that's called Murli. So Krishna is Murli Dhara. He holds that flute. Now I've seen paintings in India, where they show baby Krishna with a little flute, and it says Murlidhar, Murli Krishna, completely wrong. That's Venu Krishna. But because they don't know, because they don't study, they don't know the Shastra, they think it's all the same. But that's Venu Krishna with the little flute, and Murli Krishna is with the big flute. So when Radharani hears the bamboos rubbing against one another, it's that low sound. She's thinking, it's Murli Krishna. He's playing his flute. That means it's Krishna from age in Kishore, age 11 to 16. So this is when Radha and Krishna have their most intimate pastimes in the kunjas of Vrindavan. So she's thinking, it's my Murli Krishna. He's playing his flute when she hears those bamboos. And she embraces a tamal tree. And when Krishna sees Radharani embracing a tamal tree, thinking it's him, he's struck with wonder. Simply, he understands, oh, it's the bamboos rubbing against each other. Srimati Radharani is associating it as my flute. Actually, I'm holding my flute, I'm not playing it. But she's thinking it's my flute. Now she's thinking that tree is me. She's so overcome by love. How can I understand such a thing? Then he says, text 252, I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, Radharani thinks. So now my life was fulfilled. She's thinking like this, embracing the tamal tree. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna by embracing the tree, taking the tree in her arms and embracing it. She remains immersed in giving pleasure to Krishna, thinking, I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna. So now my life is fulfilled. Now my life is complete. So Krishna's seeing this and he's like, wow. He's just amazed. Text 253. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. So Radharani's in Vrindavan and Krishna's coming towards her, and of course his fragrance precedes him. And as soon as Radharani smells that fragrance, immediately she goes mad. Blinded by love, she tries to fly into that breeze as quickly as possible. She just wants to be completely immersed in that breeze. She wants to be a bird that just flies in that breeze and never leaves that where that fragrance of Sri Krishna is. When she tastes the tambul chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. So when Radharani takes Krishna's remnants, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. We can compare that to us when we take Krishna's remnants, how we merge in an ocean of joy and forget everything else. Or at least that should be our goal, our standard. This is what we should be focusing on. When I'm taking the remnants of Krishna prasadam, if I can remember that Radharani, she merges in an ocean of Paramananda. Here in the shloka it says, Ananda Samudre, in an ocean of Ananda. She drowns. Ashwadane, just that taste. She drowns in an ocean of joy. And she forgets everything else. She's only 100% focused on the remnants of the taste of Krishna. It's non-different than Krishna. Like, for example, we have here the Murti of Krishna. Everyone knows the Murti of Krishna is non-different than Krishna, is it not? We all believe that. We don't think this is a Murti. We believe this is actually Gopinath himself, who has descended from Goloka Vrindavan to kindly give us his mercy and allow us to offer him some service. But when the curtains close, that darshan's over. When we leave the temple, that darshan's over. But when you take the darshan of Krishna in his form of his Mahaprasad, when you take that darshan, you're enjoying it. And when you get up and leave, you take the darshan with you. Becomes part of you. Your body becomes formed by that prasadam. But even that comes to an end because every 5 or 6 hours you're hungry again. So we need another darshan of Krishna in his form of prasadam. So even, but that's a longer darshan than what you get with your eyes, you get with your tongue. But there's even a longer darshan of Krishna in his form of the holy name. Because that holy name you take with you wherever you go. It's on your lips. It's on your tongue. It's in your mind. It's through your ears. You can hear the Maha Mantra and associate with Krishna and be merged in the ocean of joy and forget everything else simply by contact with that darshan of the holy name. Therefore, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtana. Param Vijayate, the supreme victory, is the darshan of the Sri Krishna holy name. That's the main teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a teaching, he doesn't just speak, he backs it up with Shastra. And the Shastra he backs it up with is this shloka, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, 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 Katiran Yata. Now in this verse, the chanting of the holy name is extolled how many times? What say you? How many times? Who says three? You said three. Who agrees? Three times. Who has another figure in mind?
Up to three.
Up to three. We're talking about a verse that has 12 words in it. So how many, out of those 12 words, how many times are the glories of the holy name glorified? You've never thought about this, yeah?
8 times.
8 times, exactly. It's 8 times. If you think about it, it's 8 times. I shall enumerate the 8 times. Harinama, 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 Eva. Eva means certainly. Certainly means 100% guarantee. Is that a glorification? Definitely. So that's 4 positive. Kevalam. Kevalam means only. Only means everything else is rejected. So we reject everything else, leaving only this. So that's another glorification from the negative side. Nascheva, Nascheva, Nascheva. 4 and 4 is equal to 8. So 8 times it's glorified from the one side and from the other side. So we can merge in the ocean of joy just like Radharani and forget everything else. And this is what Prabhupada is bringing to us. So Krishna notices that Radharani is in this mood. So therefore, he says in verse 255, even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. The pleasure that Krishna derives from the associating with Srimati Radharani, he says that he can understand that. But even if I had 100 mouths, I could not even express the transcendental pleasure that Radharani derives from my association. So this is why Krishna is deciding, I've got to experience what is this love that Radharani has. How can I experience it? That's why he came as Lord Chaitanya. Text 256. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity in happiness. So Krishna sees Radharani. They come together. They have performed some pastimes. And at the end of those pastimes, when Krishna looks at Radharani, her complexion, the luster of her complexion has increased unlimitedly. And when he sees that, he can understand the joy and happiness that she is experiencing. And he forgets his own identity. He himself becomes so charmed just seeing how Radharani is enjoying that association with him and what it does to her. How it increases the luster of her complexion. I forget my own identity in happiness. Then Krishna says, in verse 257, the sage Bharat has said that the mellows of lover and beloved are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. He doesn't know the mellows of Radharani. If he's thinking that with the love I give to her and the love she gives back to me is equal, he knows nothing about love in Vrindavan. This is Krishna's conclusion. He can understand this love of Radharani is something beyond his own comprehension. Now think about it. The Supreme Lord Krishna, the controller of everything, the understanding, the person who understands everything deeper than any other living entity, is bewildered by the love of Srimati Radharani.
Text 258. The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others.
So, joy that Krishna gets is 100 times greater than any other joy he gets from any other person.
And he quotes a verse recorded in the Lita Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami. This verse is spoken by Krishna to Radharani. This is the verse.
My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. So immortal sweetness is very, very soft. Sweetness is immortal. The sweetness of the spiritual realm. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. So Radharani's face has a particular fragrance and resembles that of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibrations of the kokil. Has anyone ever heard the kokil? It's like an amazing bird. It has five kinds of songs. And if you're lucky, if you can hear all five of them. One of them, my favorite, he goes, goes up like that, you heard? But you can never see a kokil. His voice is so big, so powerful. You try to look in the tree, where is that bird? But they're so shy. They're very, very much hidden in the foliage by the trunk. You rarely see a kokil. Sometimes there's a female kokil and a male kokil in different trees, and they sing back and forth to each other. And the song is so beautiful, it sounds like they have a microphone, isn't it? It's so powerful. You wonder, what is the size of this bird? But this bird, who has such a glorious voice, is so humble and so shy. You can barely ever see one.
So, the sweet words of Radharani defeat the beautiful, melodious song of the kokil. And your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood.
So soothing and pleasing.
All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed. Krishna becomes overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure.
Krishna's senses, his transcendental senses, are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. So Krishna tastes with his eyes, he tastes with his touch, he tastes with his hearing, he tastes with his sense of smell, everything. Whatever one sense, the ability of one sense that we have, Krishna, every one of his senses has the ability of all the senses. So the way Krishna experiences the beauty of Radharani is innumerably greater than what we can, because we can only experience with one sense at a time, but every one of his senses experiences what all the senses experience. So it's, you know, a geometric progression of experiencing.
So Krishna is like bewildered by this. So this is recorded in the Lita Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami. So now Srila Rupa Goswami, in the next verse, describes Radharani's beauty. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, who is the enemy of Kamsa. So she becomes enchanted, and the beauty of her eyes expands when she sees the beauty of Krishna. You know, everyone knows that Radharani's eyes are blue, right? Yes? If you don't know, you know now. Radharani's eyes are blue. Why are Radharani's eyes blue?
because she's captured Krishna in her eyes. It's the only vision she has. So the reflection of Krishna's bluish form gives her the color of blue in her eyes, bluish. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance. And her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense, because she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. She's overcome. So she's trying to be shy, trying to be chaste, but it's only a pretense because in her heart she's like lost it completely. So this is a beautiful verse by Rupa Goswami describing the beautiful countenance of Radharani that Krishna sees. So Krishna continues in the next verse, 261, considering this, I can understand that some unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. So the conclusion is that Krishna comes to, there's something about me, some unknown mellow. It's unknown to me. Something that Srimati Radharani sees in him, which can now captivates him and controls him. And he says, this unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. She is completely captivated by this, and now I have become captivated by that love that emanates from her. So somehow or other, she sees something in me that brings her to this ecstatic state. We're also meant to see something in Krishna that brings us to an ecstatic state, or to taste something, or to hear something. In other words, the process of Krishna consciousness is meant to bring us to a higher state of ecstasy. First of all, it brings us out of the state of suffering. Because in the material world, everyone's suffering. But we're not the sufferers. We're not meant to suffer. We're the enjoyers. We enjoy because we're connected to the supreme enjoyer, Sri Krishna. What's that verse in Bhagavad Gita? Raja Vijaya Raja Goyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyakshavagamam Dharnam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. Pratyakshavagamam, this understanding, this dharma, is directly perceived from within the heart. Susukam. Sukam means Susukam Kartum. Sukam means joy. Susukam, su means sweet, it's sweeter than joy, it's more joyful than joy. Kartum avyayam, everything I do now becomes imbued with this joyful, joyful mood. And this joy is avyayam, it's inexhaustible. In fact, it's not only inexhaustible, it's increasing at every moment. This is what we experience when we get connected to Sri Krishna. And as I mentioned earlier, we're connected to Sri Krishna through the eyes, by the murti, through the tongue, by the prasadam, and by the tongue, the ear, and the mind, through the holy name. You see how the holy name is three times more powerful than any other form of Krishna. And we can take that form of the holy name with us anywhere. We can relish the taste in our mouth with our tongue. We can relish hearing someone else chanting. Just for example, you put on Srila Prabhupada. You listen to Prabhupada chanting and it's just the whole room becomes enchanted. Or you just think about the Maha Mantra. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't sleep at night because I've just done a program, I've done a lot of chanting, a lot of kirtan, and I try to go to bed and I become so energized by that kirtan. All that goes on in my mind is that kirtan. It just keeps on going. Won't stop. And then when this happened so many times, I began to realize that this, not so many times, I should say, several few times, compared to the mood of the six Goswamis, Srila Prabhupada, and all our acharyas, who every single day are captivated by the sound of Krishna's holy name, and therefore they can't sleep either. It's not that they don't need to sleep. They don't feel to sleep because they can't stay awake. I mean, they can't go to sleep because they're completely energized by the holy name. And because I've experienced it once or twice, I can understand now that this is why they stayed awake 22 hours a day. They weren't tired. They were completely energized by that Krishna Shakti through the holy name, through prasadam, through the darshan. So, my captivator is Srimati Radharani, and there's something about me that brings out this divine love that captivates me. I am always eager to taste the joy that Radharani derives from me. So Krishna says, whatever she's experiencing in her love for me, I want to experience it now. She's experiencing something greater than me. I want to now experience that greater love that she has for me. Krishna previously, before Radharani, he gives the impression that I was satisfied. But now that Radharani's love has come into the picture, I'm bewildered by it. I can no longer be satisfied. I'm eager now to taste the joy that Radharani derives from me. Text 263. In spite of various efforts, I have not been able to taste that joy that Radharani feels for me. So Krishna is trying to experience that divine love, that Mahabhava that Radharani is experiencing. But he says, I'm not able to. But my desire to relish that pleasure increases as I smell its sweetness. He's not. Various efforts Krishna has made to experience that joy of that Mahabhava love that Radharani is experiencing, but he's not been able to. He's failed. Here's an example where Krishna came up empty-handed. He failed to come up to Radharani's standard. But my desire to relish that pleasure increases. He never gives up. He's becoming more and more determined. I'm going to experience that love somehow or other. Formerly, I appeared in the world to taste mellows, and I tasted the mellows of pure love in various ways. I taught devotional service that springs from the devotee's spontaneous love by demonstrating it in my own pastimes. But these three desires of mine were not satisfied, for one cannot enjoy them in a contrary position. So those three desires, let's go back again. These are the three desires that are bewildering Krishna. One, he desires to understand the glory of Radharani's love. I cannot understand that love. It's beyond what I'm able to give, what I'm able to experience. Two, the wonderful qualities in me that she sees and that she alone relishes through her love. There's some unknown mellow in me, Krishna says that. I don't know what it is, but she sees something in me that brings out this amazing love. And the third thing is, what is that happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of that love that she has for me and that I have for her also? So these three desires of mine were not satisfied, for one cannot enjoy them in a contrary position. And unless I accept the luster of the ecstatic love of Sri Radhika, these three desires cannot be fulfilled. So as long as I'm in a contrary position, I remain separate from Srimati Radharani. I'm never going to be able to experience it. We have the same in English. You have to put yourself in someone else's shoes to understand what they're experiencing. Well, Krishna said it first. Unless I accept the luster of the ecstatic love of Srimati Radhika, these three desires cannot be fulfilled. So now he says the only way I can possibly understand it is I'm going to have to become Radharani. Therefore, assuming Radharani's sentiments and bodily complexion, I shall descend to fulfill these three desires. Text 269. In this way, Lord Krishna came to a decision. Simultaneously, the time came for the incarnation of the age. So Krishna, as we know, he fulfills with one activity many things that he wants to accomplish. So there's this external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance and the internal reasons. We've just spoken about the internal reasons. So the internal reasons are what we're driving Krishna. And then it just so happened that simultaneously the time came for the Yuga Dharma. Oh, okay. Hey, let me use this opportunity now. So Lord Chaitanya came to distribute this love for him, but he wanted to taste the love that Radharani had for him. So Lord Chaitanya broke open the storehouse of Krishna Prema, and he distributed freely to anyone, not considering who was qualified or who was not qualified. So what happened? He took the Maha Mantra and turned it into the Prem Mantra. He imbued that mantra with his Krishna Prema so that we could experience his love. So that we would be in the position of Radharani also. In that we now will see something from Krishna. We will offer our love to Krishna and maybe we'll come to a level of loving Krishna that may come approximate that of Radharani's, but it'll never go beyond Radharani's because that's impossible. Just like Prabhupada said once in a class, so, disciple must become perfect. Perfect disciple does not mean like Krishna is perfect. That is not possible. Perfect disciple means, I only know what my Guru Maharaj has told me, and I'm not interested in knowing anything else. And then Prabhupada quoted a verse to substantiate it. Guru Mukha Padma Vaka Chitete Koriya Oiko Arna Koriya Mone Asha. The words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. Chitete Koriya Oiko. In my heart, become one with me. Arna Koriya Mone. And nothing else in my mind. Asha. I have no other desire. Nothing else I'm interested in. Only the words of my Guru Maharaj. So, the words of Prabhupada is to fix us on the lotus feet of Krishna so that we can experience or come or try to approximate that experience of love that the gopis are experiencing. Now, in 1975 in Atlanta, Georgia, Prabhupada was on his 1975 world tour and he'd just come from South America. He was first in Mexico. Then he went to Venezuela. From Venezuela, he went to Miami. And from Miami, he came to Atlanta. So when Prabhupada came to Atlanta, so many devotees, traveling Sankirtan devotees, everybody who had a van who was on traveling Sankirtan arrived in Atlanta. Bhaktivedanta Institute people were there. The Radhadamodar party was there. The BBT library party was there. Every traveling Sankirtan party was there. So it's a long story. But there's one point I want to bring up. That during the Sunday feast, after Prabhupada's class, there were many questions. There were a lot of guests there. When the guests finished asking questions, then one devotee, Nirantara Das, who was with the New York traveling Sankirtan party at that time, he lifts his arm up and he says, Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? And then everybody who was there immediately began thinking, oh, that whatever service I'm doing pleases Prabhupada the most. Because that's what we actually tend to think. And Prabhupada immediately answered, if you love Krishna. And all the devotees went, Jai Hari Bol. Because when you think about it, that's the only possible answer. What pleases Krishna the most is when Prabhupada the most is when you love Krishna. Because everything else is subordinate to that. That is eternal. Everything else is temporary. No one's distributing books in the spiritual world. No one's building temples in the spiritual world. No one's having congregational programs in the spiritual world. The only thing they do in the spiritual world is love Krishna. Of course, the pujaris, what they're doing is what you do in the spiritual world. Pankajangari told me recently that when you are doing pujari seva, you go directly back to Goloka Vrindavan. You don't go to the Boma Leela pastimes to get trained up. You're already trained up. So that, coming from Pankajangri and Janani Rasa, I accept it as gospel. So Prabhupada said, if you love Krishna. So this is what Prabhupada's bringing to us. How to love Krishna. This is what Jesus brought. When they asked him, please tell us your teaching in 25 words or less. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. Is that 100% love for God? That was Jesus' teaching. Same teaching. But somehow or other they turned it around. They forgot God. And they made him God. When we tried to do that in ISKCON in 1970, the four sannyasis who tried to do that and were propagating that were banished from ISKCON. Prabhupada said, this is maya, this is nonsense. Finished. Because Prabhupada didn't come that you should glorify me, I am God. No, he came to glorify Krishna and that we should love Krishna. So now we're given the opportunity and we're given the highest standard how to love Krishna by Radharani. She's the perfect example. So we have to come to that standard. That's what we're meant to do in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, Lord Krishna came to a decision, I'm going to taste the love that Radharani has for me, and I come as Lord Chaitanya. I'm going to come as a devotee of Krishna, and I'm going to perform all the activities of a devotee of Krishna. He's going to do all the things that we do. He's going to go on Sankirtan. He's going to chant Japa. He's going to honor Mahaprasad. He's going to associate with the Vaishnavas. He's going to read Srimad Bhagavatam. He's going to read all the Shastras. He's going to have Harikatha with the Vaishnavas. And he's going to spread this to everyone. He's going to share it with everyone because sharing means caring. When you share, you care. And when you don't care, you keep it for yourself. So, this is just a glimpse into Radharani. What can I say? I'm just a conditioned soul. Full of all the anartas. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, I'm able to speak something that in an assembly of Vaishnavas is accepted as acceptable. This is all Prabhupada's mercy. It's all that we're made of is Prabhupada's mercy. So thank you very much for allowing me to say something about Radharani, and I hope that I said something for your benefit. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions? Yes.
I'd just like to thank you very much for sharing your love of Srila Prabhupada by quoting Srila Prabhupada, because obviously Prabhupada's the greatest authority ever on the love of Radharani. And as you said, a friend of yours, a friend of mine, so obviously Prabhupada is a serious friend of Radharani's. So we become friends with Srila Prabhupada by studying Prabhupada's books regularly.
And becoming dear to Srimati Radharani means that you're extremely dear to Krishna. So this is the Guru Parampara system, because every Guru in Parampara is in that mood of service to Radharani, trying to love Krishna, serve Krishna, come up to the standard of Radharani. And so we're now in that line. Prabhupada has brought us into this line. Some amazing thing has happened to us. That we were wandering in the universe, is not knowing what to do and what not knowing what not to do, completely bewildered, and somehow or other, by some great good fortune, causeless mercy, Prabhupada has brought us into this line. And if we don't recognize this as the greatest thing that could ever possibly happen to any living entity, then we surely must be fool number one. So therefore, as he rightly said, any friend of any servitor of Srila Prabhupada, we give our life and soul to that person, Hare Krishna. Because without Prabhupada, we are fool number one. We would only be talking nonsense. But Prabhupada has given us the Shakti so we can appear to be learned. But actually, we're not learned. If Prabhupada was to withdraw that Shakti, then I would again be a frog. So it's only by Krishna's mercy. Even Prabhupada himself said, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitar Pravartan. Without being empowered by Krishna, No one can spread the glories of Krishna. So we understand that that power of Krishna is coming through Prabhupada. You had a point? Right.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming from the mood of Radharani.
Yes.
And he's distributing prema bhakti to everybody.
Right.
So is that actually Radharani's mercy?
Is that Radharani's mercy? You could say it was Radharani's mercy because Krishna's wondering, what is that mood of Radharani? What is that love? What is it about me? What is she experiencing? I got to find out. So she was the impetus for him to come as Lord Chaitanya. To experience it. That's what this is all about. Maybe you can confirm this for me, or someone can confirm this to me, but I was told many years ago, and I don't know if it's true, because I never saw it. I read it, but apparently I was told, Bhaktisiddhanta said that actually we're followers of Radharani. The only reason we love Krishna is because Radharani loves Krishna. And we are in the line of Radharani, no doubt. So, anyway, that is the mood. I mean, my relationship with Krishna is through his holy name. So I take shelter of the holy name. And when I sing, I try to experience something. I try to put some kind of love in it. And although I don't have much love, I once remarked to Keshava Bharati, I said, you know, I go out, I'm chanting, I'm doing kirtan, traveling around the world, and because I don't have any love for Krishna, I put all my energy into it. So at least I can give Krishna my energy. And he said, no, that's wrong. Your energy is your love. And therefore, it changed my whole perspective, you know, because whatever you give to Krishna, your energy, whatever it is, it's a symptom of some love that you have. Because you're choosing to do that rather than anything else. So, yes? We're coming to the end of it, so.
You started the class by explaining about the inclination and disinclination. Mm. So what happens to that when preaching the name Lord Chaitanya?
When we become disinclined to it?
No, well, I mean.
When we become.
It's also Krishna, that's inclination or disinclination.
Yeah, but I explained that earlier. It's our own desire. Then he empowers us in that way. So if I'm inclined to it, Krishna will empower me to go further and more. And if I'm not inclined towards it, he'll disempower me. That's called the apohan shakti. He'll cover me so I forget. So I don't remember that I'm spirit soul. I don't believe that there is such a thing as God. I'm only interested in sense enjoyment. So that's his, when we are disinclined, Krishna empowers us by his to be disinclined by his apohan shakti. But if we are inclined, he empowers us by his smriti shakti, so that we do remember we're spirit soul, that we are parcel of Krishna, and Krishna is God. So it depends on our original desire in the beginning, because Krishna fulfills all our desires. But if you come to this position, and probably all of us did at one point, at least with me, I don't know if there's a God or not. Is there a God? Are you out there? Please show me. Immediately Krishna makes an arrangement that I come in contact with a Vaishnava. And then I make the next choice, the next step. Am I inclined or disinclined? Ah, it's bogus. Or let me read this. You know. When I first came in contact with the devotees, I was already vegetarian. I was already reading yoga and everything. And they gave me a magazine, Back to Godhead, but I couldn't understand it. Because I was already contaminated by the yogic understanding of the Mayavadis. So when I read what Prabhupada was reading, it didn't compute. So I just put it aside, I don't understand it. But somehow or other, by some great good fortune, I kept seeing the devotees out on Sankirtan. And then gradually, I started going to the temple and then became purified enough that I could understand. So at least we have to be sincere enough to want to follow on the path of searching for God. That's the inclination, and he empowers us that way. Disinclination means you're not interested. You don't care. Yes?
Also in regard to that point that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, like we said, when Prabhupada installed the first Prabhupada in the West, which is of course in London,
still the most ecstatic. Ki jai.
So Radha Rani is about her blessing, right? And he said that the only way you can approach Krishna is through Srimati Radha Rani. He said you have to be Srimati Radha Rani to get an audience with Krishna. And also, of course, when we chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare is a vocative case of Hara, because we're actually addressing Radha Rani, because Hare Krishna means Radha Krishna. But not only that, he said that besides that, Lord Chaitanya is also present in the Mahamantra. Because Hare Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, and Hare Rama is Nityananda. Simultaneously, inconceivably, they're also there at some vibration. And actually, of course, Prabhupada used to always say, of course, in the act of devotion, we have to become Rupa Nuvas. Or Rasa Sekhi, Prabhupada Nuvas. But Rupa Nuga, Rupa Goswami, is, we know, is a Manjari. Rupa Manjari. So we're actually following in the footsteps of the servants of Srimati Radharani, the intimate associates of Srimati Radharani. So that's the only way you can actually, because there's no way you can approach Krishna directly. No way.
Therefore,
only Radharani has access to Krishna like that. Nobody else.
Therefore, when we're in the mood of Das, 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 Anudas, we're in our constitutional position. And when we're not in that mood, we're in Maya. There's only two possibilities. You're either in your constitutional position or you're not. So I'm always trying to be conscious of that. And I'm also very conscious to say Hare Krishna, not Hari Krishna, especially in the japa, because Hari Hari, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I always accent the Re to make sure that I'm addressing Radharani. So I think that we're ready for the next program. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimati Radharani ki jai. Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Jai.